Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, the Occupy Lansing movement is in full swing in the capital city. But what exactly is this movement about? It's kind of hard to tell sometimes. I'll be joined by a participant in the movement. The court battle over the planned cut to welfare benefits for 11,000 Michiganians continues this week. We'll get the latest on that. And the big game tomorrow in Spartan Stadium, you know the one. The Lansing State Journal's Joe Rexroad joins me for a preview of the big U of M MSU game. But first, it sure looked like the plans for the new public bridge between Detroit and Windsor were moving ahead, and with the State Senate Economic Development Committee set to vote on the new international trade crossing this week. But that vote did not happen, as support for the project appears to be waning. To get the latest on the issue, I'm joined by the committee chairman, Senator Mike Kowal. Welcome to the program, Senator.
Thank you. Good evening.
So what's happening on the bridge? Is more information coming to light on the project that's causing you and your colleagues to decide it shouldn't move ahead?
Well, it's ongoing bringing in information. And last week we had a professor from Wayne State University who's an expert in constitutional law and came in and testified regarding the permitting process in order to move forward. And it came to light that there needs to be a presidential permit, which is approved by Congress, in place before anything can happen. It's an agreement. It's basically a treaty between the United States and Canada to build the other span.
That must have been considered ahead of this point in time, was it not?
I would think it was. It really came to light in the committee, though, as of last week. We had asked for an expert's opinion, and the bridge people had hired some consultants, and the professor came in and was stating how the law works in that regard. And it was also agreed upon by the representatives from the Attorney General's office. They also agreed that a presidential permit or a treaty, it depends on what you want to call it, between Canada and the United States has to take place before anything happens.
Well, that seems like something that would be agreeable to the president if we, in fact, would benefit from a bridge like this. Is that process complicated? Is there a reason why we can't go ahead with that?
Well, there's no reason why, administration couldn't be moving forward with that currently. And, I would strongly suggest that these type of permits are, in place before the state moves forward, because there's going to be a lot of, there's been hundreds of hours of time spent now on this, and we've been working on it since February, and the former administration had been working on it for 6 years. So, you would think that a lot of these permits would already have taken place.
We've heard this project would mean thousands of jobs, and it would allow for more extensive trade with Canada. Are there other reasons and other concerns, such as the financial concerns, the potential cost to Michigan taxpayers, that are underlying the reason why this bridge project is essentially being stalled now, other than the one you just described?
Well, there's concern amongst a lot of legislators, not only the ones on the committee, and this is both sides of the aisle, I might add, too, that the state could end up spending money, state dollars, on this project sometime in the future. We wanted to make sure that boilerplate was sufficient, that Michigan is not going to be responsible for any expenses, because if it is a public-private venture that's supposed to support itself, the documentation should be there to prove it.
So the plan as it sits now, you're saying, does not in fact ensure that?
No, there's some question to that right now. The Attorney General's office says yes, the other side says no, and we're trying to wade through it. We're continuing, working with administration, working with leadership to come to some sort of resolve here in the next few weeks.
So where are we now then? I mean, could we see the committee potentially vote this through in a couple of weeks then?
You could see it come up for a vote relatively soon. That's possible.
What about the Maroon family's proposal to build a twin span along the Ambassador Bridge? What's the status of that potential project?
Well, they have already installed ramps on both the Canadian side and the American side. They're in the process, from what I understand, of applying for their permit to build a span. I don't know where that is in the regulatory process on the Canadian side, but they also have to apply for Coast Guard, Homeland Security, and a variety of other permits here, and they have done that. The applications are in place with the federal government.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there's permits and basically permission from the feds to move forward.
I'm talking to State Senator Mike Kowal. He's the committee chairman involved in potentially moving ahead with the bridge between the public bridge between Detroit and Windsor. That sounds very strange, though. The Maroon family is moving ahead with potentially building their twin span, and this public bridge project may go ahead also. Isn't it going to have to be one or the other, or could both actually be built at the same time?
Well, we're looking at, that all depends on what the traffic counts. Eventually, sometime well into the future, and I think all experts do agree that, 30 years from now, there may be a need for more than one span. Traffic levels have fallen off dramatically right after 9/11, and currently the traffic levels are down 49%, I believe they were from 9/11.
The Maroon family has spent millions of dollars on TV ads and political contributions in their campaign against the public bridge. How much influence has that had in causing that project to stall at this point?
Well, it's probably, the television ads have probably had some effect. It's a little disconcerting for, the committee members to sit down and watch television in the evening and hear your name on television repeatedly over every hour and a half hour. So it does wear on you.
And, it is interesting that the Canadian government has been absolutely supportive of this public bridge project, even to the point of financing our end of the deal. But why are we seeing such uniform support on their side and so much hesitation from Michigan lawmakers?
Well, that's, it's all the above. There's constitutional issues that are being questioned. There's treaties that are being questioned. There's a lot more questions than there has been a lot more questions than answers. We're wading through the majority of it. I have a binder that's probably 4 inches thick with a lot of these the questions that have been asked, and they're answered in there. So there are some recommendations that we need to do to move forward. The Canadians were also heavily lobbying for the Gateway project, which took place in 1998, 99, 2000. So they were pushing, very hard for that. I was in the state legislature at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're looking to move freight, more easily between the border crossing.
The only thing when I think of the Maroon twin span project, that seems like that if that gets underway, that it's going to be unlikely that we'll see the public bridge project also then being built at the same time. Do you agree with that?
I would tend to agree with you on that.
And is it a matter of timing then now? I mean, if they move their project along to the point where they begin building this bridge in earnest, would that essentially sink the public bridge project, at least for the foreseeable future?
Well, there's lawsuits that have taken place currently. So how quickly, the Ambassador Bridge people would be able to build something remains in question. Those lawsuits would have to be settled, before anything would happen.
So let's look at the timeline for the public bridge. Then ultimately, would it be potentially, are we looking at years then before this project, the public bridge project is actually?
Well, even if everything passed, the governor signed it into law and everything moved forward and contracts were let out, it would be between 7 and 10 years before anything was, before it was ready to operate. As far as the job creation goes, there's an estimate of about, temporarily 7,000 construction type jobs. which are sorely needed, and there'd be a variety of permanent jobs, be it through a truck plaza and shops and that sort of thing. So there would be an impact, absolutely.
Finally, Senator Kowal, will the Economic Development Committee then bring this up to a vote in several weeks? And do you predict that the plan will move ahead and will pass?
Well, I'm going to tell you it's more than likely going to come up for a vote shortly. Within the next few weeks, I would say, maybe sooner than that. And how the outcome would be, I can't really tell you. I try to remain neutral, mm-hmm. just due to the fact that I chair the committee, and I don't want to put any more pressure on any one of my committee members than what's already being put on them. They're being heavily lobbied by the Ambassador Bridge people. They're being heavily lobbied by the Canadian side and the governor's office. So, I'm trying to be respectful of their time and. Mm-hmm. In the nature of this business.
State Senator Mike Kowal, also the chairman of the Economic Development Committee, thank you very much for joining me.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me on, Michael.